and His mercy endures forever. And I thank You, Lord, for Your word. As I hear Your word tonight, my faith will be energized. I confess I'll not only hear it, I'll also do it. Because I hear it and I do it, my life won't stay the same. Thank You, Lord, for Your life-changing, ever-living word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read you several scriptures to kind of get us focused and centered in on our subject of study tonight, which is growing up spiritually. Remember, we started this last Wednesday, and this is about a three-part, so we'll preach tonight and then next Wednesday, the Lord willing, also growing up spiritually. But let me read these scriptures to you. You just make a note, if you will, of the references, if you're taking notes. Peter tells us in 2 Peter, the third chapter, he says, But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow, you know, the subject here. Ephesians 4, we read this scripture last week. Let's rehearse it again. It says that He, or Jesus Himself, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Oh man, that's God's intent, isn't it? To press us up, bring us up to mature. Perfect is mature, grown up, you know. You've reached a level of maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we'll no longer be like children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, holding to the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head. A couple of other scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Hallelujah. Your faith is growing. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Your love is increasing. One other scripture, Colossians. Here the Apostle Paul again is on this subject of growth. And he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing or growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I just pull a few scriptures out of New Testament just to kind of get us centered in on. It's easy for us to see, particularly in New Testament, how that the scriptures emphasize to us the importance of this growing up, continually growing spiritually in our knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of God, and the knowledge of His word, which in turn changes us. As we grow in the word, it changes us. We become stable. We stabilize. We get rooted. We get grounded. Praise the Lord. We become mature in the Lord. And when we do that, or as we do that, of course, the side benefit is that without regard to how perilous the days, or how difficult the days, or how crazy the days that we live in become, you and I will be steady. We will be stable. We will be safe and secure. We will be steady in the things of the Lord. You know, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. And so as we come into that kingdom and we become unshakable, I don't know about you, but, this world is a crazy world. Probably you, just like I have, you know, I've been almost sickened this week by the depravity in this world. I mean, the cruelty and the craziness of the the heart of men is absolutely crazy. I was thinking this morning about, you know, the thing that's going on in the Middle East and this pilot that was, you know, burned. I mean, it's just the atrocities are just beyond belief almost. And I got to thinking back, you know, you just think about, though, our ancestors. Just think about the martyrs of the faith, those that have gone before us. Can you imagine what it was to live in the time when Rome was, you know, in control of the world and Christianity was so new? Can you imagine what it was like to live in a time when you saw the people that you know, your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters, put into the arenas? And you know, the wild beasts, the lions, the people pulled apart. I mean, just read Hebrews chapter 11 and look what people have gone through for the sake of the gospel. It's not a new thing. You know, the devil is a terrorist, and he has, you know, he has displayed his depravity and demonized this world ever since the fall of man. But I'm telling you, this, the scripture, go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let me just read this scripture to you. In Hebrews 12, this is one of the warnings, and I'm getting off track here, but this scripture was, I made a note of it and put it in here just because it so spoke to me today about the day that we're living in. In Hebrews 12, verse 25, it says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks." Don't refuse him who speaks. Who is that? That's God and the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. They did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. It's referring back to Moses in the time when, you know, the children of Israel were let out. But if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him, from God, who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now, once more, there's a shaking. Now notice, he says the words "once more" indicate the removal of that, of what can be shaken, the removal of what can be shaken, what's subject to shake. Amen. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. This is where God wants to place us, in this place where you cannot be shaken. Amen. So that which cannot be shaken may remain. It'll be left. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The purpose of God is to get us born again, get us to heaven, but praise the Lord, is to mature us while we're here. Amen. Well, I don't want to go back and reestablish the subject that we started last week, but we're talking about growing up spiritually, growing up in Christ, and I started out giving you some disciplines, some spiritual disciplines, habits, behaviors that we put into our life that that create spiritual growth for us, okay? So, praise the Lord. I gave you one out of seven. Hallelujah. We did get started. Amen. This first one we talked about, I talked to you about learning how to forget, or learning to forget. Of course, we're talking about referring to the things that God has dealt with already and God has forgotten, and he chooses to never bring back up again. So we forget. The scripture was, Paul said, I forget what's behind. I forget what's behind. I'm focusing on the goal. I'm focusing on the target that is ahead. Forgetting our sins, forgetting our shame, forgetting our mistakes, forgetting your failures. Do not let the devil hold those things in your mind, because if we don't learn to forget those things, even as God has forgotten them, you know, then you can't grow. You can't mature. You can't go on with the Lord, because you're always going to be held in that prison of not good enough, not making the cut. You know, you just, you know, you don't deserve his love. You just don't deserve, you know, his care. You don't deserve his blessing. So we have to get past that. Okay, ready for the next one? Praise the Lord. The second thing that helps keep us growing spiritually is learning to forgive. And I know that Scott talked about this. Pastor Scott talked on this on Sunday, and he brought up some things that were, I never put them together in that way. It was a really powerful, very pointed teaching to us as a church. But let me talk to you for just a minute about it here. Actually, these first two, learning to forget and learning to forgive, they're connected, you know, because we notice the nature of God. When God and Jesus forgives us, they also, according to Scripture, forget. The Old Testament Scripture, there's a word in the New Testament, but the Old Testament Scripture that this, God is speaking, he says in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, he says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions. I blot them out. I erase them. I erase your transgressions. I wipe them out, your rebellion, your sin, trespasses. And he says, I do it for my own sake. He does it for his own reasons, his own purpose. It's because he loves you and he wants to keep you, save you, bring you to himself. He does it for his own sake. And he says, and I will not remember your sins. I will not call them. I'm not going to recall them to my mind. Okay, so go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at a passage of scripture there about growing up and having to do with forgiving. In chapter 4, toward the latter half, in particular, the Apostle Paul he's speaking to the church there about growing up, about spiritual growth, about becoming, the new man, so to speak, that God has created us to be, becoming mature in the Lord. And so let's draw off this. Let's begin in verse 22. He says, put off your old nature, your previous behavior, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lust. It's depraved, it's polluted. Put off your old nature. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, transformed. And put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now drop down to verse 32. It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Praise the Lord. So he starts off here teaching the church about growth, about growing up, becoming a new person, the new person that God has created us to be. That's the person that God created in righteousness and in holiness. And then he deals between verses 24 and 32 with several very specific things that I'm not teaching on, I'm not going into tonight, and gets down to verse 32, and he gives us three keys that have to do with growing and living as a mature Christian. The first one, he says, is be kind to each other, tenderhearted. Third one is forgiving one another as God, or through Christ, or in Christ, forgave you. Kindness. In fact, you know, sometimes when I'm have the occasion to do particularly marriage counseling, this is one of the main scriptures I give them. I just, basically, if there ever was a secret for a couple having a good marriage, to me, this is the verse. This is a verse that deals with relationships. And if I can ever get two people to do this one verse of scripture, you can have a good marriage. Praise the Lord. Because if I'm kind, if you're kind to your spouse, the likelihood that they're going to be kind to you is a lot better than if you're rude and ugly, right? If you're harsh and no, so kind is to be pleasant to each other. If you're tender-hearted, which means compassionate, if you're tender care, if you're merciful, if you're, you know, you're sympathetic toward each other. It's all you guys, if you're sensitive, right? You become sensitive. All you sympathetic, sensitive fellows, right? Then you're going to reap that. Whatever we sow, we reap. But then this last one, forgiving. Forgiving. Be forgiving. Praise the Lord. Importance of forgiving. In your Greek dictionary, that word is defined as to grant deliverance, to release freely as a favor. to release freely as a favor. It's a gift, a pardon, to pardon someone with graciousness, to just pardon someone, to forgive, even as Christ forgave, even as God forgave us, for Christ's sake. Amen. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us the classic training on God's concept of forgiveness. And that was, there's the story there in beginning of verse 21 when Peter came to Jesus, and I don't know if he'd been frustrated, if somebody had been bothering him, or if there was someone in particular he was trying to find an answer about, but he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother trespass against me or sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Maybe it was John, his brother, I don't know, or one of the other disciples. Who knows who he's referring to here? Or maybe it's just in general, he's trying to find out. Up to seven times? And Jesus said, "No, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times." Don't you know Peter was probably surprised? I think he was probably thinking he was pretty generous to say seven times. I'm going to forgive up to seven times. He's probably surprised Jesus' response is, "No, not seven times, but 490 times. And that's where you start with forgiveness or release, pardoning somebody with graciousness. And then Jesus goes on to teach a whole parable on it. I kind of debated whether to take the time to read the whole parable. Maybe I'll just tell you about it. But it's there in Matthew chapter 18. It's the one when the master calls. He wanted to get an accounting from all of his servants, and he called them in, and one of them, you know, owed millions, way beyond what he could ever repay. And so the master told him, "Pay me what you owe me." He said, he fell down, you remember, he fell down on his knees. He says, "I can't do it." He begged for mercy. "I can't do it. I can't pay. You know, please have mercy on me." And the master had already told him. He says, "No, you have to pay, and then we'll just, you and your whole family, be sold for the price." Well, when he fell down on his knees and asked for forgiveness, the master had compassion, forgave him the debt, and released him. He goes out, you know the story, finds somebody who owes him a few bucks, grabs him around the neck. You got to pay me, etc. And then the same thing. He does the same thing that he just did to the master. He asks for forgiveness. He asks for pardon. He asks for time. He would pay. He said no, and he threw him into the prison. Then the master finds out and calls him back in and severely rebukes him. And he said, "Listen, I forgave you of all of that debt, and look what you have done. You should have at least had compassion on your fellow servant, and you should have given just as I had pity on you." And then the Bible says that the master was angry with him and delivered him to the tormentors until he could or did repay. To the tormentors. He didn't mean, I don't think Jesus is trying to teach us, you know, he's endorsing, I think sometimes we get that and we get the picture of somebody just takes him to the rack and they begin to do all sorts of crazy things to him. That's not what it says, you know, but the lesson here that we learn is that when we don't do that, we are delivered into the tormentors, the things that can happen into our lives, the hand that normally is there to help us and to protect us and to take us, that is removed from our life. And then verse 35, though, is the real kicker. It says, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's amazing. God is saying here that if we want any kind of a positive relationship with him, then there's this practice of forgiveness is not an option. Amen. According to Scripture, the point at which we either refuse, decide we can't, or for whatever reason, that we do not forgive the offenses of other people, That is the point to where our spiritual growth stops. You can't go any farther. I don't fully know what all it is about the nature of God that causes forgiveness to be such a sacred thing to Him. So much emphasis is placed on this in the Scripture. I don't know that I fully understand it. It's in His nature. It's a part of His DNA. And He requires it of those that come to Him and have their hearts changed, have their lives, you know, a new nature, where that they can then walk in forgiveness. If you remember, Jesus included it when he was in the Sermon on the Mount, and He gave the prayer, you know, and He said, this is the way that you pray in Matthew chapter 6. He said, you know, pray that my Father's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, all the way down, thy kingdom come, etc. And then when He got through, He put it right, he connected it to his to the prayer, and He says that, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So, what does that mean? What does this scripture mean over here, that your heavenly Father will do you the same way? He just delivered this guy over to the tormentors if you don't forgive your trespasses. Yeah, I have read so many commentary writers on this passage of scripture in Matthew 18:35. Everybody and their uncle tries to, you know, tell you what it is and tries to soft pedal in it, etc., and explain away this verse. But I think that we would be wise, just take it for what it says, praise the Lord, and just determine that we're not going to be one that's included in that scripture. Can I have an amen? I mean, that's the best thing to do. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. It is something that is so sacred. It's amazing. When Jesus is teaching the lesson on faith in Mark chapter 11, He connects this thing of forgiving even into that teaching. He's connected to prayer. He connects it to the study on faith. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. You have ought against anybody, you have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. Then, of course, this scripture that we just read here about forgiving, Paul's teaching about forgiveness, Paul and all the others, it's over and over in the New Testament that we have to be willing to pardon, to treat with kindness, to be tenderhearted, to not speak trash talk. Come on, believers, you know, to watch the words of our mouth, to be ready to do good as we can, even when we have been offended, and to express forgiveness if we've asked to in particular, but even if we have not been asked to, it's a thing that we can do, you know, out of our heart. You say, but pastor, you don't. Well, the word says that we do it, and so we do it. You've all had experiences in life where you've been required to do this, right? Haven't you ever? Have you? Anybody in here ever had to forgive somebody that offended you? Anybody had to really forgive somebody that has really, 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 I mean, a deep offense? Sure. How many of you know that sometimes it's not easy? Amen. I know in my own life there have been thousands of times that I've had to forgive. There have been thousands of times that I needed forgiveness, you know, somebody to forgive me. But there's two in my life, there's been two major times where I was required. Forgiveness on a deeper level than I'd ever experienced was required. It was required in order for me to get free. And in looking back, I'm not going to tell you about those, what they were, but in both of those instances, whenever I came to the place to where I would set aside my anger and set aside my justification and set aside my hurt and make an attempt by faith to forgive. In both of those cases, and I say make an attempt to do it because personally, in my experiences, forgiveness is an act and a process. It begins with an act. It begins with something where a time where you obey God. You just say an act of faith. Bless God, I choose to release this, to pardon, to have a gracious release against this person or whatever has happened. But in both of those instances, when I began that process, God moved to fix things, and in both those cases he fixed things before the whole process of forgiveness was finished. I was still living out, you know, like you forgive and you say, oh God, you know, that's it, and you feel all clean, and tomorrow morning when you go to your prayer, there it is again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There it is again. Oh, boom, pops right back into your mind. You go through that process again. Lord, I just choose by faith. Thank you, Lord, that you give me the strength and the power. And I release this. You go through that again. The next morning, you go to the prayer time, and there you're before God, just ready to pray in tongues and sing in the Holy Ghost, and there it is again. You know? And you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that as that process. But if you'll be faithful, God's just and faithful too. And he can heal and to cleanse your heart. But my point was that in the process of releasing and forgiving, God fixed the thing, and he corrected and brought things back together even before I was finished being healed or releasing and handling. Can I have an amen? So we learn as if we want to grow spiritually, we learn to practice forgiveness. Amen. Because when we harbor that, it's so sacred to God. Somehow we are violating the very values of the Godhead, and we're traveling on a road that is askew to God's plan and God's ways and God's growth and advancement. Amen. Okay, let me give you the third discipline that facilitates growth, and that's learning. Stay with me through this. Learning to pray scripturally. Learning to pray scripturally. Now, don't hear this like I'm just throwing out the obvious to us, because I know every one of you, you know that we're supposed to pray, and you know that we're supposed to learn how to pray. My Lord, it was probably either the first or second thing that you were told when you came to Christ. It may not have been the first. The first may have been read your Bible, right? Second thing was pray. Third thing was what? Go to church. Okay? I mean, that's what we tell people who come to Christ. We've done it for years, and that's what we'll continue to do. But in order for us to grow spiritually, I want us to get a little more specific here. Let's talk about praying. And realizing that there's a difference in just general prayer and praying that is scripturally based, that is founded on the Word of God, that follows heaven's protocol. And this is where you grow spiritually, as we learn to pray based on God's Word, as we learn to pray heaven's protocol. You know what I'm saying? We all know. Listen, God hears the prayers of the most. He'll hear the prayer of faith of the most unmentored baby Christian on the face of this earth. I mean, when that Christian, when someone comes to Christ and he prays and he says, oh God, I don't care if he prays and uses a cuss word. God will hear him, and God, you know, he will. I mean, because he's just a baby. I mean, there's some stories there, but I'm not going to tell them. But, you know, I mean, he'll just show his love any way he can. He'll answer any prayer. You probably experienced it when you were born again. God did things for you in the beginning, you know, and you're just like, wow. I mean, okay, probably things that you didn't even ask for, God worked out. He did in my life. He just, you know, began to work. But God also wants us to grow. And probably every one of your experiences, if you look back on it, there was a time to where it just seemed like, man, it just don't happen as easy as it used to, you know? And I just talked to God, you know, and all these prayers were happening. And one of the key things here is God wants us to, he wants us to grow up. He wants us to learn how to pray effectively and pray scripturally and pray based on the Word. An effective prayer life has to be built on the Word of God. Say that with me. An effective prayer life has to be built on the Word of God. Your prayer life, if you want to grow in the Lord and you want God to, you want prayer to be effective, you want prayer to work, you want things to happen, one of the things is, it's like two parts here, but one of the things is we have to grow to the place to where that it is based on the Word of God. We never reach a higher level of maturity without developing our prayer and conforming it to the pattern that is given to us in the Word. Go with me to John chapter 15, and let's just see this from Scripture. John chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Look in verse 7. Here again, Jesus is teaching, and he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Man, if we just focused on the last part of that scripture, the second half, the B part, what I call, then my heavens, that's a shouting scripture. We all get hilarious about it. But if the B part has to do with you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. But the B part of the scripture is not going to happen without the A part of the scripture. Amen? Which teaches us that just because we pray and we ask what we want, even what we need, doesn't mean that we're going to get it from God. The B part, praise the Lord, is conditional upon the A part. And the A part says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Praise the Lord. So effective prayer is built upon the basis of the Word of God. If you abide in me. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor? That has to do with walking in continual fellowship with the Lord. We're walking with God. We're in fellowship. We're not in and out, you know, and living two lives, and trying to be on the fence, see how close to the devil in the world we can get. We're walking in fellowship, and that's important. We have to abide in him. For our prayer life to become effective and to grow spiritually as we are becoming a vessel of prayer and power in this earth, you know, through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to abide in him. And then he says, and my words abide in you. Praise the Lord. Well, he's referring to somebody who's giving themselves to hearing the word and then taking it in and conforming their living to the word. May we not become people who have known the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 16 years, 18 years, 20 years, 30 years. We've known the Lord, but we're not abiding in the word. We took in the word, but we stopped taking in the word. Hello? May we be people who are continually abiding, living, that's what that word means, living in his word. Because we'll never grow up in our praying if we're not knowing his word. God's word, according to the scripture, must abide in our hearts such that our asking is in harmony with his word. As our asking, those things that we ask, whatever we do, as our asking is in harmony with his word, God is committed himself to bring those things to pass. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about learning to pray in alignment with God's word, what scriptures actually say about what we are praying. Particularly now, when we're dealing with prayers of petition, when you're dealing with prayers of intercession, and I'm not talking about interceding in the Holy Spirit now, I'm talking about interceding in, you know, out of, you know what you're praying. But you're dealing with petition and intercession, you're dealing with prayers of agreement. How can you come into a prayer of agreement if you don't know what the word says about it? It's powerless unless we know what the word says about it. It's not just agreement between me and you. It's agreement between me and you and God's word that causes things to happen. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. So you're dealing with prayers that have to do with the healing of your own body or other people's bodies or provision that you need. When you're dealing with those kinds of prayers, we seek the scriptures. What does the scriptures say about this need? Then we conform ourselves and we go into the protocol. What scripture are we going to stand on? Do you have a scripture to stand on? You know, I think it's important. You say, well, I just don't know. Well, aren't we blessed that we have resources to help us? I mean, we live in an age that it's a rare thing that anyone could go very long without finding somebody to know a scripture for us to stand on, something that we have need of from the Lord. I mean, there's some help there for us. Can I have an amen? Now, maybe it's not so in some other place out in, you know, in the bush or in the boonies, and nobody's got a Bible, and, you know, maybe it's not so, but for us, it's certainly so. I mean, by heavens, if nothing else, we can get us a God's Promises book, you know, we got it right there. You can go on your iPhone. I have God's Promises on my iPhone. All I have to do is just mash two buttons, and there it is. What does God say about la, la, la? You know, there it is. But the point being, if we don't have anything to stand on, then we're not going to be very effective, and we won't be very spiritually mature. We won't grow in the things of the Lord. God obligates himself to only answer the prayers that are founded or based on his word. Praise the Lord. You need to make a note of that. Make a note of that. Praise the Lord. God obligates himself to answer prayers that are founded on his word. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, when you get a scripture and, you know, you got it in your word, be sure that it's stirred in your heart. Is it alive? Is it just a written, just kind of a logos thing? There is a rhema to you. Is it alive inside you? Is it alive inside you? I think sometimes we perhaps, maybe, surely not you, but maybe somebody is sitting by you. But perhaps, you know, we're quick to pop out those little words out of our head, but we haven't, they're not alive inside us. Stir yourself. Meditate on a word. Oh, well, you got a need. Well, meditate on that word that you're going to stand on. Let your faith be stirred. Praise the Lord. You know, as we feed ourselves, the scripture says that faith will come by the hearing of the word. Faith, if we meditate on it a while, on something that is in the scriptures, and our heart is open, you know, we're open ground. I mean, we're good. There's something that is going to happen. Your faith is going to be stirred. It will happen. Your faith will. I could just start quoting certain scriptures to you about some subject that we have an issue about, and we just start talking about the word for a minute, and I promise you, unless you're dead, something will happen inside you. Your faith will begin to be stirred. Now, to what level it gets stirred is many times it depends on you. How much attention are you giving to? How open are you to that? But as we give ourselves, our faith gets stirred. I mean, I start talking about Romans 10, 9 and 10, you know, just confessing Jesus as Lord. And if I just meditate on that, I get stirred up, you know, about that scripture that talks about Jesus as Lord of everything and blessed be God. And, you know, and in that is salvation, whatever I need, and getting someone else saved, whatever it is. Because the word will stir you up. Amen? So let that begin to come alive. And then when you use that scripture, you stand on it, praise the Lord, power is released. Amen. The principle here is, excuse me, the principle here is that our prayer was never designed by God just to get God to do something that he's never done, to get God to do something that, to create something that he's never created. Prayer was not designed, you know, to get God to do something that doesn't exist or something he's never thought about, etc. The truth of the matter is that God has already said in his word that everything you and I need in this life has already been provided. That's the truth. Everything you need, it's part of your inheritance. that everything we need has already, God has already provided it. So what does prayer have to do with it? The prayer is to be that time where we go to God and we talk to God and we fellowship with God and we tell him about where we are and what we're going through, and we take his word and we set our faith on that word, and then we believe we receive it and we move on from there. Amen. That's what the prayer is all about. Hallelujah. You don't got to talk him into doing something. The Bible says in Peter wrote it, he said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything we need has already been given. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Second part of that, I'm obviously not going to get finished tonight. So but the second part of it is in John 16. Let me just point this out and we'll find a ending place here, okay? In John 16, go there with me. We're still talking about learning to pray scripturally. And it's addressed here. Jesus is again teaching, and he says, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. There are several, you know, so many different translations of this, and many of them bring out different wonderful things. One has to do with, I think it's the Amplified, talks about you'll have no need to ask questions of me. But he says, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Now ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Praise God. Now, let's just notice how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and particularly how he teaches them to pray, pointing to after the cross and the resurrection, because now he's teaching them the future. He's referring to them, this is the way it's going to be. I'm changing things. He teaches them, and particularly, let's go back to that, in dealing with petitions, requests, supplications, needs, etc., etc., etc. Now watch this. How does he say for them to pray? He says to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. There's a good divine order and protocol. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. How do we pray? We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, this is, don't take the scripture don't go in the ditch with it. It's not saying that you can't pray to Jesus or, you know, go to the Lord, talk to the Lord, fellowship with Jesus and worship the Lord. That you can only pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. He's not teaching us that. He's not teaching us that you could never mention the Holy Spirit. You know, there are things that have been given into the authority of Jesus, particularly the things that have to do with the church. He is the head of the church, according to the book of Ephesians. He's been made the head of all things that have to do with the church. But here Jesus says, look, he says there's something before you just came to me for everything. I was here. I walked with you. And you came to me. I was here for you, and I talked to you, and I would answer your problems. If you had a need, I'd meet your needs, etc., etc. He said, but the time's coming now. Listen, you just pray to the Father. You don't have to go through an emissary, an intercessor. You just go to the Father in my name, and God will move on your behalf. It's good protocol, isn't it? That's good protocol. And so here, he's not telling us that we can't ever talk to Jesus. That's not scripturally true. That's not what the word is saying here. But this is good order as we strive to learn how to pray, praise the Lord, scripturally. Amen. Praise God. Which that takes us into the other things. And I'm right now out of time. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we have, what number was that? That was 3? Dear goodness. So we'll cover 4 next Wednesday. I'll believe it. Yeah, we have to, because the next Wednesday I'm going to be in Kenya, praise God, so you'll have to, you believe with me, we'll get it done, and we'll finish up this study before I leave, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. And we do want to grow. We want to get stronger and stronger. We have a realization, oh Lord, in our hearts that these days, in these days, it will take strong believers. And Father, thank you that we grow not only just for our own well-being and our own families, oh Lord, but in these last days that we're able to help others too and to rescue others. Praise the Lord. And Lord, you need some champions, and I thank you that's what you're making these that are here tonight. You're making them champions for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, guys, praise God. Prayer partners are coming, right, Mary? We have prayer partners for you if anyone needs prayer. God bless you, and I'll see you. Hopefully, I'll see you Saturday night, all right? Here at the worship time. And then if not, I'll see you on Sunday.